Future-Proof Extra from Newstalk.
As the ice sheets at the Earth's poles continue to recede, life on this planet as we know it hangs in the balance. Of course, that ice is only there as a result of an ice age, a vast and inhospitable period of time in our deep and distant past. But what exactly are ice ages? How do they happen? And when is the next one? Benjamin Labs is Associate Professor in the Department of Geosciences at North Dakota State. He joins me now. Welcome to the program, Benjamin. Tell us then, these ice ages, of which there have been many over the course of the planet's existence, are they a regular occurrence? Do they happen like a clockwork, or are they random?
Well, if we look throughout the geologic record that we have for Earth history, these ice ages, or if we think of them instead as these ice house conditions, where we have large ice sheets that are situated near the North Pole or the South Pole, they've actually been pretty rare. We've had known ice house intervals early in Earth history, what we call pre-Cambrian time. And then we haven't had too many since then, up until about the last 35 million years.
And so I need to stop you there. Why are we saying ice house?
I would say ice house instead of ice age, because ice house just refers to a time when we do have ice sheets on a continent that's at or near one of Earth's poles. Whereas an ice age, those are more frequent events that can happen over periods of tens of thousands of years or hundreds of thousands of years. So the ones that people think of as this this cold period that happened sometime in Earth's past or happened numerous times in Earth's past, I would think of that as more of an ice age, but these prolonged periods that are millions of years or tens of millions of years, those are ice house intervals, and they're a little bit more persistent.
Oh, I see. Okay, so the length of an ice age could be just a few thousand years?
Just a few thousand years, or the most recent ones have been quite a bit longer than that. So I think of those as glaciations of Earth's past. So, for example, the last one culminated about 20,000 years ago. And then the Earth underwent this transition for a period of about 10,000 years into the current warm period, or what we could call an interglaciation.
Does the world during an ice house look different to the world during an ice age? Are they both essentially ice balls, or what are we talking about from, if you're looking at this from space, what are we talking about on Earth?
So if we think about what the Earth has generally looked like for the past, say, 35 million years, for there's been an ice sheet that's been more or less permanent in Antarctica. For the last 10 million years or so, there's been an ice sheet that's been more or less permanent in Greenland. And during the those interglacial periods, those warm periods, the Earth has looked pretty much like it does today. But then we have these cold periods that have happened. And if we think of the Ice Age as the last time the Earth was much colder than today, then the Earth would have looked a lot different. There would have been great expansions of ice sheets, especially in the Northern Hemisphere, from high latitudes down to the middle latitudes in North America and Europe and Asia. And the Earth would have been quite a bit colder, on average about 6 to 10 degrees Celsius colder than it is today.
Is that all? 6 to 10 degrees? It seems like that's not enough to create essentially what is a snowball out of the planet we live on.
Right. And it doesn't sound like much. But if we look at the Earth as a whole, it was really just those middle and upper latitudes that were experiencing this extreme cold, much, much colder than today. And indeed, at those locations on the Earth, the temperature would have been much, much colder than today, on the order of, say, 20 degrees colder. But down at the areas that were not covered by glacier ice, the climate would have been maybe not too different at all.
So during the deepest parts of these ice ages or ice houses, would that equator section of our planet, would that have ever been fully iced over?
Well, there's one ice house interval. We go way back in deep time called Snowball Earth. And this gets back into pre-Cambrian time. And this was kind of an interesting and a unique condition of the Earth compared to the more recent ice house interval and ice ages. So that Snowball Earth, that happened at a time when the Earth system as we know it today was not fully developed. The composition of the atmosphere was different. The sun was not as bright as it is today. And under those conditions, if the Earth started cooling down and greenhouse gas levels in the atmosphere started to decline quite a bit, the Earth could get into a state called a runaway freeze, where as ice sheets started expanding at the poles, they could work their way to progressively lower and lower latitudes. And that would make the Earth colder and colder and colder because ice on the surface reflects more of the sun's rays. And then we can get to this state of a so-called snowball Earth. But the more recent ice ages that the Earth has experienced have not been like that at all. It's only been about 30% or so of the continents during those really cold intervals that have been covered by ice.
So why do they happen? Why do we have an ice age occur? And then why does it go away?
Well, if we think about setting the stage for the current ice house that the Earth has been in for the last 35 million years, the first thing that we need are continents that are at or close to the Earth's poles. So Antarctica has been really almost perfectly situated for an ice house that is to host a permanent ice sheet that can persist for millions of years or longer. In the Northern Hemisphere, it's taken a little bit longer to get there. But we do have lots of land, especially Greenland, getting close to the North Pole. And so we just have the right configuration of the continents and the oceans for permanent ice to exist. But the other thing that we need that's really important is the Earth to enter a state, and again, a very persistent state, when greenhouse gas concentrations in the atmosphere are relatively low. So lower than they are close to or lower than they are today, and existing in that state with some oscillations over that ice house period. So the Earth is really nicely situated to host ice right now. And then if we look at the more frequent changes that have led to glaciations and interglaciations, there have been oscillations in Earth's climate that have been triggered. So these are shorter term geologic events. So if we have a trigger, it's not really going to be plate tectonics, something that happens very slowly through deep time, but something that can actually initiate cooling of the Earth over a shorter time interval. And one that we think is really important and was discovered just in the early 1900s was this idea of changes in the geometry of Earth's orbit. And indeed, over periods of about tens of thousands of years to hundreds of thousands of years, the geometry of Earth's orbit can change in such a way that the Earth will receive more or less solar radiation, especially at high latitudes. And so that can be an important trigger to kind of get the Earth in motion for the ice, the oceans and the atmosphere to respond in such a way that cooling can begin.
And so the trigger for what we call the ice ages, as opposed to ice houses, these longer periods, these ice ages, distance from the sun due to the orbit is a factor. What about changes in the flora and fauna? When plants evolved, was there a huge change in climate that led to an extreme weather event, or would that not be enough?
By itself, that probably wouldn't be enough to really help to get an ice age going. Life certainly responds to climate changes, but if we look at the ice ages of just the past few million years, the ones that we know the most about, we have a great geologic record of these on the continents and the oceans in the ice sheets themselves. And for most of that time interval, we don't have a significant change in flora and fauna. If we think about some of the ice age animals, the big mammals that roam the Earth, they've actually survived multiple ice ages and multiple intervening warm periods right up until the start of the most recent warm period. And so they've actually been fairly persistent and by themselves have not had a great impact on the climate.
How do you go about testing these ideas and what sort of evidence do you pull on to get your idea of what happens during an ice age and what triggers it?
Well, the geologic record of ice ages, especially the most recent ones, is very abundant. The development of the ice age theory actually came from just observations on the continents, going to the edges of modern glaciers, looking at the types of rocks and sediments and landforms that were being deposited and built up there, and then looking for similar types of geologic features elsewhere on the continents, particularly at lower latitudes or at lower elevations, where it was suggested that ice had existed sometime in the past. But the problem with the continents is that the geologic record is incomplete. As we've had repeated ice ages, glaciers are such powerful agents of erosion that they've wiped out the record of these earlier ice ages. And so we have to look somewhere else to really get a good sense of what the pace and the timing of these ice ages has been. And fortunately, we have a signal of these ice ages out in the oceans. So marine sediments, different from on the continents, marine sediments can accumulate more or less continuously, especially in deeper water environments. And the ice on Greenland and Antarctica, because they've been essentially permanent, that accumulates continuously as well. So we can go to those settings, we can drill down into the oceans a couple of kilometers into the mud that exists there. More recently, we've been able to drill down into the Greenland ice sheet, the Antarctic ice sheet. And this is not my research, incidentally. This is research of other scientists. But those cores of sediment and ice give us a great deal of information about what ice ages have been like.
What about what's going on right now, this global warming that we're experiencing? Will that mean that we skip an ice age, that the next ice age that's due to come, we just don't have it?
That's kind of the million-dollar question. And a lot of scientists would say yes. And the reason for that is coming from some of the information we've been able to get from ice cores. So if we collect an ice core, and we can see evidence of what climate was like during the last few glaciations. Say going back, I know in Antarctica, we can go back at least 800,000 years. What we see is that indeed, glaciers were undergoing this really slow buildup and really slow buildup. They'd reach a culmination and then the ice volume would plummet. And then we'd have another cycle begin where we'd undergo this really slow buildup of ice, this progressive cooling of the earth, and then the ice volume would plummet again. What's parallel to that, and changes in temperature, changes in ice volume, are changes in atmospheric carbon dioxide. Indeed, during the ice ages of the past, carbon dioxide concentrations in the atmosphere have been low, less than 200 parts per million. And for reference, we're at about 414 or so parts per million today. But then if we look at the warm periods of the past, we don't get anywhere close to the carbon dioxide concentration we have in the atmosphere today. And that's really significant because it takes such a long time for the Earth through natural processes to draw carbon dioxide from the atmosphere and sequester it into various reservoirs. That if we talk about the levels where we're at today, or say the levels where we could be at by mid-century, the Earth might just have too strong of a greenhouse effect in order to enter another ice age. So it is possible that the next one that we could forecast through these cycles of ice ages might be skipped.
Ben Labs from the Department of Geosciences at North Dakota State. Really interesting speaking with you. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Jonathan.